The question, and we began, as I said last week, Peter on the day of Pentecost preached to the people there and convicted them of the sin of crucifying the Messiah. And upon being pricked in the heart, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" That question is still being asked by a lot of people today. What must I do to be saved? Amen. The problem is that there are too many people that are giving too many wrong answers to that vitally important question. Okay? A lot of wrong answers being given out there. And the problem with that is, okay, is people are seeking to find out what they need to do in order to be saved. They're given these wrong answers and they're being lulled into a false sense of security. People feeling secure eternally because they've been told sometimes lies about what they must do in order to be saved. So what we're doing is looking at some of these answers that people are being told, and then we're looking at what does the Bible say about some of those answers. So we know what the truth is. What does the Bible really say about these things? Because we don't want people having a false sense of security. We want people to know that they are saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? But we want them to be able to know what the truth is and the answer to that question. So this morning, in talking about wrong answers, we're talking about the answer that people give concerning baptism. That baptism comes after a person is saved. In other words, that you are saved by faith, as we talked about last week, okay? And that baptism is something that you do after you are saved. And I don't know if you can read a lot of this, the very top part of it, the question that people ask, is baptism essential to salvation?
Yes.
Now, there are a lot of people that answer that question by saying, no, baptism is not essential. You are saved by faith before you are baptized.
No.
Okay? And that brings the second part. Or, is baptism, quote, an outward sign of an inward grace, obeyed to show that we have already been saved? In other words, it's really the question of when is a person saved? Okay? And how important is baptism to one's salvation? Much confusion, this particular thing says, much confusion exists in the religious world about the purpose and place of baptism. But a careful consideration of what the Bible says on the subject will enable us to understand God's will. And that's what we're seeking to do.
Amen.
Okay? Someone says, my position on baptism is complex. Doesn't have to be.
No.
Okay? God has already given the right position. Okay? So we need to understand, if your position, as complex as you make it out to be, doesn't match God's position, then it's wrong.
Amen.
Okay? Period. All right? There's only one position that we need to consider. The doctrinal teaching of the Anglican Church says baptism, they put it this way, it is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. So in other words, when a person believes in God, that faith only, salvation by faith, then they are saved at that moment, and baptism is something they do later on as an act of obedience to show their obedience for Christ. So in other words, basically, baptism then is, as this says, going public with your faith. Okay? I believed in God, I got saved, as the terminology is, and now I'm getting baptized so that everybody can know that, yes, I'm a believer in Christ. That's kind of what is being taught out there. That's the answer that a lot of folks are given. That baptism simply is this act of obedience after you are saved. Here's one problem with that. If we're looking at baptism as being something that occurs after someone is already saved, then it removes that sense of urgency. Okay? It really just kind of takes it out of the way. What is the real hurry to get baptized if one is already saved?
Well,
all right. So we take that away, and that then comes into this whole idea that many denomination churches practicing this baptism Sunday, where once a month or once a quarter, they get everybody that quote unquote has been saved, and they get them all together this one particular Sunday, and they baptize everybody, you know, at one time. And that's really a matter of convenience, isn't it? We don't have to do it every time. We just get it all to get everybody at one time. Well, let's just for a moment, for the sake of argument, say that baptism is simply an act of obedience after someone is saved. Are we just simply obeying God as a matter of convenience on a particular Sunday that we don't have to obey Him right away, but we're going to wait and obey Him later? You say? So we create all kinds of problems when we start doing this kind of thing, don't we? Yeah. Problems that make a position on baptism complex when it really doesn't have to be.
Man.
Let's look at what the Bible has to say. In Acts chapter 8, we find the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And we find that Philip, being led by the Holy Spirit, saw this Ethiopian eunuch traveling and was told to go up to the chariot. And when he did, he went up there and he heard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And he said to the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man said to him, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And the Bible says that Philip began at that very passage of Scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we don't know whether the eunuch wanted to be baptized right then.
Amen.
The Bible says that he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
Yeah.
Okay? In Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul is telling a group of people in Jerusalem about his conversion to Christ. We read of the original account of that in Acts chapter 9, okay? But in Acts chapter 22, he's telling this crowd of people about what occurred when he became a Christian, when he found salvation through the Lord. He tells about Ananias coming to him and placing his hands upon him and restoring his sight. And Ananias said to him, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized."
Amen.
All right? What are you waiting for? No reason to wait.
Right.
So this is a situation that from the biblical perspective is something that is happening, you know, as people are believing. Here's one more, the Philippian jailer. All right? Paul and Silas are in prison. They're singing and praying, and there's an earthquake that comes, and all the doors are busted open, and the chains fall off the prisoners, and the jailer wakes up, and he sees what's going on, and he takes out a sword and is ready to take his own life, because it's going to be taken from him anyway if the prisoners have escaped. That was the punishment, right? So he's going to go ahead and take his own life. But Paul and Silas stop him and say, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here."
Amen.
And this man then asks that question, "What must I do to be saved?"
That's good.
All right? And they replied, now look at this, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Kind of sounds almost like John 3:16, like we talked about last week, right? But it goes on from there, all right? "You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And look at this, then immediately he and all his household were baptized.
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't something they waited till the next baptism Sunday, you know, the next quarter or whatever. They did it immediately that night. He and all of his household. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God.
Right.
He and his whole household. But this was something that they did immediately. So you see, when we settle for that wrong answer that says, "Oh no, you're already saved and baptism is just something you do as an act of obedience later," then that becomes a matter of convenience, and we conveniently obey God whenever it's convenient to do so. But that's not what the Bible teaches.
No.
Okay? Because first of all, baptism isn't just simply an act of obedience we do after we're saved. Okay? Baptism actually saves us. Now, that brings us to the second part of this whole thing. Baptism is a work, many people claim. And that's one reason why this whole doctrine that's kind of put together, you're saved by faith, okay? And so if you get saved by baptism, then you're working for your salvation. And that's what they're saying. Now, let me ask you this question. Here's a statement that is made. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. True statement or not? Is that a true statement? How many think it's a true statement? Raise your hand. Okay, if you raise your hand, you're right. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is what? A gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Right? So in other words, God is simply saying to us, look, I'm saving you because I'm good, not because you're good. That's grace. That's a gift.
Amen.
You see? So when we're doing something by works, we're going to see here in just a moment, then that's merit. In other words, we're working and we deserve whatever we get. How many of you believe that you deserve salvation? Anybody? No, we don't deserve it. We're all sinners. None of us deserves it. That's what makes it such a great gift.
Amen.
And there is not enough good things we can do in order to earn or require God than to save us.
That's right. Amen.
And that's the big objection you see that folks have to baptism, saying, well, baptism, it's a work, and so you're working for your salvation. Well, if baptism is a work that you are doing to be saved, they say, all right, here's a statement. Consider this. God does not give rebirth or new life through baptism, much less through infant baptism. Do not be deceived. That's what's being told out there. Wrong answer or right answer? Wrong answer. Okay? In fact, you go to the text that was read for us as we began this morning, Romans chapter 6, 1-4. Look at what Paul says. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may do what? Live a new life. So, you know, those people who are saying that baptism doesn't give a new birth and it doesn't give a new life, well, what does the Bible say? Just the opposite. Okay. They say don't be deceived. I'm saying they're trying to deceive people. Because this is the truth of what the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? Baptism does bring new life. This group that I found out there on the web called Let Us Reason Ministries. Okay? Here's what they say about works and baptism. A work is something that, and look at this, is physically done to accomplish a task which is seen. Belief or faith is exercised without lifting a finger. Okay? So again, as we talked about last week, that whole, all you got to do is believe in God, and you're saved. And you don't have to lift a finger. You don't have to do anything. Okay? But if you're getting baptized, that's a work. Okay? Here's what W.E. Vine, who is the leading authority, by the way, on biblical words, both Old and New Testament. Okay? The word for belief in the New Testament, pistuo. Alright? Look at what he says here. To believe, also to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in, to trust, signifies in this sense of the word reliance upon, and look at this, not mere credence. Credence is just simply intellectual acknowledgement. And he says, it's not that, okay? But look at what he says also. It is most frequent in the writings of the Apostle John, especially the Gospel. Look at this last line. He does not use the noun. So, when John uses it, John's one of all the writers who uses the word the most, when he uses that word, he's using the verb form of that word. Now, a verb is what kind of word, English people? It's an action word, okay? It's not just a thought word, it is an action word. And so, by definition, the word believe requires action, according to the Bible. All right? What makes something a work? Well, these folks from Let Us Reason Ministries, they ask the question, is baptism considered a work? Absolutely. Another person is required to be there, and both participate in a physical activity. It is a ceremony. If baptism saves you, then you save yourself. That's what they say.
Well, okay.
These are the, and this is why we're doing this series of lessons, though, because these are the wrong answers that people are giving to these kind of questions. Okay? Is baptism really a work? They say, yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. Look up Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Look up the word work. Here's the ideas that you find with it. Okay? Activity in which one exerts strength or faculty to do or perform something. Sustained physical or mental effort to overcome obstacles and achieve an objective or result. An activity that a person engages in regularly to earn a livelihood. But yet the Bible says we are not saved by works, we're saved by what?
Grace.
Work indicates, in this sense, that it is something you have earned and it is owed to you. Okay? How many of you want to go to your job and you work at your job, and at the end of the week, your boss kind of decides, well, you know, I just don't think I'm going to pay you this week. How do you think about that? And you say, well, wait a minute. I worked all week for you. Well, yeah, but I just don't feel like paying you.
Yeah.
But I earned that money, did I not? Well. You know, how many of you would be satisfied with that? Why? Because you worked and you earned that money and you deserve to be paid.
Amen.
That's the idea of work.
Amen.
But yet, that's the idea that those folks who are saying baptism is a work, that's the idea they want you to believe about baptism, that you're earning your salvation by working simply by being baptized. Here's an interesting thing here. John chapter 6. Remember, we're in the Gospel of John. What did we just say about it? John uses the word believe only as a what? As a verb. It's an action word. Look at it. Some of Jesus' disciples said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So Jesus says that believing in him is work. It's the work of God. It's interesting to me that in John 3:16, the proof text for those who claim that all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved, uses the exact same Greek words. That whoever believes in him, it's the very same words, shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
So, I just think it's kind of interesting, those who claim that baptism is a work. The Bible doesn't say baptism is a work. The Bible says belief in Jesus is a work. Well, why don't they object to that as someone working for their salvation? See?
Oh,
finally, what can wash away our sins? What takes away our sins? You see, mankind has a problem. It's called sin. Sin is what separates us from God. And the only thing that the Bible indicates to us that removes the sin is baptism. The blood of Jesus that we obtain through baptism. That's really what it's all about. That is the only way for sins to be removed. So that we can be reconciled. So what can wash away my sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Right? We go back over to Saul of Tarsus. Okay? There he was with Ananias. We saw already that Ananias urges him. What are you waiting for, right? He says to him, not only why do you wait or what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized, he says, and wash away your sins.
Amen.
Now, if baptism wasn't necessary to salvation, in other words, if you were saved by simply believing in God, or even by praying, as we talked about last week, saying the sinner's prayer, okay, we know from Paul's testimony that when he went back into Damascus after meeting the Lord on the road, the Bible there tells us that he was blind, okay, and he didn't eat anything for 3 days, it says, and he was praying for 3 days before Ananias came to him. So if all one has to do is believe, and all one has to do is pray to God, and then baptism is something you do after you're saved, then why did Ananias tell him to get up and be baptized and wash his sins away? His sins would have already been washed away.
Amen. Yes.
But just simply saying a sinner's prayer and simply believing in God, intellectual acknowledgement, will not save anyone.
No. Amen.
Because it is baptism that washes our sins away in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? The Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, chapter 6, talks about all these different sins he mentions. And he says, and that is what some of you were. But then he says, you were washed. Okay? You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were washed. Those sins were washed away. How? In the waters of baptism. And they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay?
Amen.
Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, makes this statement. You want to know what saves us? Peter says, baptism now saves.
Amen.
Not faith only. Not saying a prayer. Baptism. Now, am I suggesting that all we have to do is just get somebody in the water and then they're saved? No, that's a big problem that we have. That we emphasize this whole idea. Let's get them baptized. Let's get them baptized. No, first of all, you got to have the right heart. You got to be coming at it from the right spirit, you see. Recognizing and acknowledging that you're sin, just like those people on the day of Pentecost were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what must we do? Right? We have to understand that baptism is the beginning point of a new life in Christ. But it is the beginning point. We go back to the text that we were looking at earlier, Romans chapter 6. Look what it says again. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? All right? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Amen.
And here's what that looks like. A person comes in contact with the cross of Christ, They understand enough to know that they are separated from God by their sins and that Jesus died on the cross to save them. They then die to themselves. Isn't that what Jesus called upon his followers to do? Take up your cross and follow me. We've talked about that over and over again. Cross is for one thing and one thing only. Death.
Man.
So that person dies to themselves. They die to their sin. They are then buried with Christ, Paul says, through baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There is a death, there is a burial, and there is a resurrection.
Amen.
And that begins that new life in Christ.
Yes.
The writer of Hebrews makes it very clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The way that that forgiveness is passed on to everyone who accepts Christ, who believes in Him, okay, is to have their sins washed away in the waters of baptism, where they come in contact with the blood of Jesus. So, the question, the song that we're going to sing here in just a moment, the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The answer that no, baptism is not necessary to salvation, that it's something you do after you're saved, is a wrong answer. That is making a lot of people, giving a lot of people a false sense of security.
Amen.
I hope that by our study this morning that we've cleared that up with anybody who may be confused with that. That yes, baptism is necessary because that's the way that our sins are washed away.
Amen.
Now, there may be somebody here this morning who has not yet given their life to Christ, has not yet been truly saved. There may be someone here this morning who's been living under this false sense of security. That maybe you've been told that, yeah, you're okay because you believe in God. And hopefully now you understand that that's not correct.
Amen.
That indeed, in order to be saved, you need to be baptized into Christ Jesus to have your sins washed away.
Amen.
So if there's anyone here this morning in that situation, I'm here to tell you, we can fix that right now. Immediately. Okay? You don't have to wait. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You're already a Christian. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. Maybe there's something that Satan's got you all tied up in knots over. You need some help to overcome that. Let us know. That's what family does. We help one another. If there's some other thing that we can help you with as a church family, we can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this opportunity for anyone to come and say, you know, hey, I need prayers, I need help, I need this, or whatever. Dale will be in the back to receive. Like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front and see if anyone, if you'd like to come up and share with us. Wes has an invitation song we're going to sing. The invitation is extended. Let's stand together.